All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to read verse 9, beginning of verse 9. And there are handouts on the back worksheets if you want some. Oh, to be young again is the title of our study. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Now, it's important when we read these words, we keep in mind those who have been here for the last months, the entirety of the context of Ecclesiastes and thinking about what Solomon's been saying all along through this book. Verse 1 of chapter 12, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. If you're a young person here today, and older alike, but you that are older, just bear with me here. Those of you who are older, notice my wording here. God loves you, and he really desires a relationship with you, young people. Not talking about your father, not talking about your mother, not talking about your pastor or your Sunday school teacher. God loves you and wants a relationship with you right now. You know, God loves young people. In fact, the Bible specifically addresses young people as well as it specifically addresses older people. A lot of times, you know, when we come together, we tend to focus, or a lot of times young people think, well, this is just written to, you know, my parents or grandparents or whatever, and that's not the case. Every single aspect of God's word is written to every single person who knows him. Doesn't matter how old or how young that you are. In fact, the Bible specifically addresses young people and older people. It's a book full of true life accounts of young people. That's what I love about Scripture. It is a book of true historical accounts of young people and their faith and their struggles and their testimonies to the world. And so God led the wisest man who ever lived here in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 to write some words of warning and encouragement to young people. Words that stand true throughout the ages. They were true thousands of years ago, and they are equally just as true today, almost 2017. I mean, we're still at the very end here of 2016. And let me tell you that from an earthly, physical perspective, nobody's credentials demand greater consideration of this text than Solomon's credentials. I want you to think about this guy for a minute. The son of King David. I mean, the guy had done it all. I mean, that's what we read in chapters 1 and 2 and 3. He says, I've done it all. You know, I've tried everything there is under the sun to do to find fun and meaning and pleasure and satisfaction and all these kinds of things. If there's anybody that can say this and do it, it's Solomon. You know, we always picture Solomon as this, you know, regal king, and he's wearing all the, you know, the stuff, and he's powerful and he's wealthy and he's wise and all this. And a lot of times we don't think about him, you know, riding through the palace on his three-wheeler when he's 4 and 5 years old, you know? Like running into people and bumping into the servants. Solomon was just like every single one of us. He was a young person. He was a teenager at a point in his life, growing up in the palace of his father, David. I mean, think about that. And I mean, he'd done it all. He'd experienced it all, much more than what your friends or your peers have experienced. You know, think about that when someone's saying, yeah, try this, do this. And you know, think about the fact Solomon's already done it all. And while your friends or those who you are around may pressure you to live or act or think or behave in a certain way, they can't come close to measuring up to what Solomon lived out and what Solomon thought. And he concludes all of his experiences with verse 1. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Remember now when you're young. So I want to consider what Solomon has to say here today to young people and think about some biblical principles from this text with the time that we have. Can you flip that heat off? Thanks. With the time that we have. Number one, in your handout there, we're going to have 4 points and kind of make some application here. Number one, this may fly in the face of what you hear from a lot of people today, you know, but Solomon says, God says through Solomon, number one, enjoy being young while you're young. Oh, to be young again. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Now, he's talking about people that are under, you know, 42 here, I'm sure, okay? So, but that's the point, all right? If you're over there, it's too late. If you're over that, I'm sorry. But those who are under 42, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. There's nothing wrong with being young and enjoying the time you have to live life without some of the many responsibilities, as well as the many aches and the pains that you're going to face as you get older. Now, the problem with this, and I've heard this said before, is, you know, you don't appreciate it when you're young, and by the time you can appreciate it, it's too late. Which is why Solomon is saying, listen to me now, you know. Listen to me now. Rejoice, O young man, young woman, young person, in thy youth, in being young, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. There's nothing wrong with being a young person and enjoying things. I had an incredibly, every young person has trials and ups and downs, and some don't have a happy childhood. Some have their issues, but I had a wonderful childhood. I mean, I enjoyed being young when I was young, even though I didn't appreciate it at the time, because you're always waiting to get older, you know? And then when you're older, you're always wishing you were younger again, you know? That's the way it works. But Solomon is saying here, I mean, adults usually remember their youth. Usually. I'm not saying in every instance, in every case. There are people that have had horrible childhoods and upbringings. I'm not denying that. But I'm saying usually, adults remember their youth as some of the best memories of their lives. You know, we always think back, remember the better days, the greater days. And Solomon says, whoa, don't think that way. But, you know, because they weren't. But we think that way. We think back, man, remember when I was young and didn't hurt when I got up in the morning? And I didn't have to take the, you know, Zantac or Pepcid before I had dinner every night, you know, and all that stuff. And remember those days when, you know, I see Evan right now. I have, you know, my son who's 6, and I mean, he's going to be 7 in just a couple of months. And so when I was his age, I remember, maybe I've said this before, but I would travel, you know, to Bible conference and stuff with my dad, my grandpa. And when I was little, you know, people would always comment like, man, I'd give anything to have that energy you have, you know. And I just remember as a kid thinking like, what are they talking about? That's ridiculous. I mean, just, I don't have any energy. I'm just, this is life. This is the way it is. You know, this is just the way it is. And I get it now. I mean, I'm not even older, but I mean, I get it now because I see him and I'm tired out at night. You know, you get home and you're tired out and he doesn't stop. I mean, he doesn't stop. Dad, you want to throw the ball? But, you know, this big old ball in the living room and throws it against the wall. Here, let's throw it. You know, it just doesn't stop. There's no, you know, first or second or even third gear. It's fourth and fifth all the time. So it doesn't stop. The energy, and Solomon is saying, enjoy being young. You get to see and experience new things with a fresh perspective, okay? My wife would probably put it this way to me. They're not jaded yet like you are to life. Yeah, all right, maybe. Yeah, you know, enjoy it. That's what Solomon is saying. Number one, enjoy being young. You know, don't go around, you know, negative and or even just waiting to the moment that you can be older. I mean, enjoy being young. Number two, we got to get going here. Realize that your choices, though, now bring lifelong and maybe even eternal consequences, though. See what Solomon says in the latter part of verse 9. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou, know something, for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Realize now that your choices bring lifelong, maybe even eternal consequences. One author said that in all his writings, Solomon never advocated sinful self-indulgence. Solomon is not talking here about when he says follow your heart in the sense of enjoy being young and do those things. He's not saying live a life of self-centered pleasure and licentiousness. That's not what he's saying. In all his writings, Solomon never advocated sinful self-indulgence, only the enjoyment of life's legitimate pleasures and good gifts. It's kind of, Solomon's been talking about this throughout the book as we've been looking at Ecclesiastes. He's been saying, hey, enjoy. Your life is short. Enjoy what God has given to you, the grace that God has bestowed upon you in this life, right in the here and now. Enjoy it now. You know, take advantage of the pleasure and enjoyment of what God has provided. He's saying the same thing here to young people. Youth is not a free ticket to do whatever you want. That's not what Solomon's saying. He's pointing out, listen, enjoy being young and enjoy the pleasures of being a young person, but understand that the choices you make right now will have long-lasting consequences and implications. That's what Solomon is saying. We've all heard the stories about young people. Maybe we've had friends that have made one wrong decision, and if they're still alive, their life has never been the same because of the choices, the bad choices that they've made. I mean, we've, you know, and it's the same as an adult. I mean, an adult is the same thing, but Solomon's specifically addressing young people here. Enjoy being young, but understand while you're being young, you need to make the right decisions. And listen to me, because I've done it all. I've experienced it all. You know, I've been through it, Solomon says. A real person. Therefore, verse 10, make the right choices. Look at verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. In the context as we're going through here, what does vanity mean? Remember, it means it's what? It's like a vapor. I mean, it's short-lived. It's not going to last very long. Even make the right decisions. Even the youngest of children know the difference between right and wrong. If we want to be truly, not just temporarily, but truly fulfilled and joyful in life, the life God has given to us with the time he's given to us, we are going to make choices that are consistent with what is best for us, and that is the right choices. We have to, as young people. And you say, well, how can young people sometimes understand what the right choices are? And so I'm saying to those who are older, model it. Teach and model what is right and what is wrong. Teach and model that in your home. It needs to be taught and modeled in the church, because they're not going to get that out in the world, which God has placed us in. You know, the world calls evil good and good evil. I mean, out there, things that are even, this is what the scripture says. So we need to have a communication and a line of communication open with our young people. What is right? What is wrong? And as we're going to see here in a minute, why is this right and why is this wrong? Make the right choices. Childhood and youth are vanity. That is, they slip away fast. They're gone before you know it. We talk about this all the time. Any of you who have children talk about how fast the time has gone. I can't believe they're already, you know, five. They were just born yesterday. Oh, I can't believe my young person's already in high school. I just remember when they were in elementary school. The point is that time flies. It goes by fast. These years slip away fast. They're gone before we know it. So Solomon, I think, is telling young people here, don't plan on doing right down the road or later in life. Do it now. Do it now. I remember when I was a kid, when I was a young person, I knew Christ as my Savior at a young age, and I knew I really need to, I need to spend time in the Bible. I need to spend time in God's Word. I need to. And I always thought, oh, there'll be, down the road, it'll be easier when I get older. I mean, I always thought that. Down the road, it'll be easier. Yeah, I'm not really where I'm at, where I need to be right now in relation to knowing God's Word, His will to me. Down the road, I can just imagine, when I get in high school, it'll be a lot easier because I'll have a regimented schedule than high school came. Oh, when I get in college, then I can do whatever I want. I don't even have to be at home anymore, okay? It's like, when I'm in college, oh no, when I'm totally like on my own, not in school, school is the big problem. Once I get out of school, then I can, he's saying, no, don't do that. Do what's right now and do what you know is right now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. And we know from elsewhere in the New Testament, we don't even know what a day will bring forth. We don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow, So do what's right now. And this is the counsel that Solomon is giving to young people here. Verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Most people believe that Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes toward the end of his life, because of the fact that, you know, he had spent a lot of his life being corrupted through cultural influence of the wives that he took to him in order to forge political alliances with the nations around him, and it turned his heart away from God. And most people think he wrote this later in life, so he's old here, you know. And I'm sure Solomon is thinking back to his youth. Man, remember when I used to, you know, remember when I used to hang out there in the castle when Dad was, you know, around, and it, you know, all these things I used to do. I'm sure he's looking so positively on the days of his youth, and he's saying, you know, let thy heart cheer thee, and walk in the ways of thine heart in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. Enjoy being young, but make the right choices. There's your paraphrase of those verses. For childhood and youth are vanity, because time flies. It goes by so fast. And then he concludes here in the verse 1 of chapter 12 in this direct address to young people. Always, always remember the Lord. See, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. King Solomon didn't say, here's what he didn't say, okay? He didn't say, man, live it up when you're young. He didn't say, live it up and later on you'll have the opportunity to serve and glorify God. He didn't say, just live it up right now and don't worry about what you believe and what you think and how you behave and your relationships with other people and all that. He didn't say, live it, do, and just down the road you can remember God. Notice what, I mean, he says something else. He says exactly the opposite. Now, he's not saying forget God down the road, but he's focusing here on this. He said, remember the Lord now. When life is fresh and you're in your prime, remember the Lord now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So what does it mean? What does it mean to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth? Well, let's consider this for a minute. To remember, the word remember there means not only just to keep it in mind, but it goes beyond that. It's not just, well, don't forget about God. It's deeper than just don't forget. To remember goes beyond that. It means to live your life with what you know about God clearly in view ever before you. This is the idea of remembering now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Not just don't forget God. It's saying live your life, your beliefs and your behavior based upon what you know about God right now. And believe me, Solomon, what was Solomon's knowledge of God level like? I mean, I'd say on 1 to 10, it's like 9 to 10. I mean, he's David's son. He's David's son. King David, the psalmist. I mean, the one whom God chose to rule the great nation of Israel back during the prime of, I mean, you know, David, I believe, taught Solomon truth concerning the person of God. And Solomon was brought up in a what we would call a godly home. And he knew who God was. He knew about God. And as he got older, God came to Solomon and said, you know, Solomon, I know your heart. You have a great heart toward me. You know, what can I give you? What did he say? Wisdom in an understanding heart to judge thy people. Because I'm like a child. I don't even know. This is you know, an impossible task from a human perspective to be able to rightfully judge and rule over all these people. So to remember, to live life making choices in the fear of God, which means always understanding his presence. He knows all. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. So our choices and our behavior reflect our understanding of God and what he's told us in his word. So it means much more to remember. It means much more than just recollecting some facts at some point. It means that the reality of your Creator God is ever before you, and your actions will bear this out. So when you're in the world and you're with other people, and other people say, hey, why don't we do this? And rather than try to impress other people, you say, wait, what will impress God? What will impress him? Remember, the Creator God ever before you, the choices we make. When a professor is telling you something up there in the front of the classroom, about God or about the world in which we live, and you're to think, okay, wait a minute, okay, here's what he says and believes. What does God say and declare concerning this thing? See, this is what it is to remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. Not just, oh yeah, I remember God, but to really wrap our minds around who he is and live accordingly. That's what Solomon, you know, did for a period of his life until he kind of got swept up in wanting to be accepted by the culture that surrounded him. And so he took all these wives to forge political alliances, and those wives turned his heart away from the Lord. But he comes to the end of his life here, and he's talking then to young people and saying, young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, do it now. Remember God, the reality of the Creator God who made you, to whom we are accountable because he loves us. He wants what's best for us. He's ever before us. Our actions, our beliefs need to bear that fact out. And number two, it means, you'll see there in letter B, that God must be your... I'm ahead of myself. What does it mean to remember now the Creator of the days of youth? So it means, like I said, God's ever before you. Your actions will bear this out. But it also means that the word Creator is intentional. It carries the idea of accountability, that the very one who made us truly knows us and what is best for us. So remember and Creator, two very intentional words there. Remember and remember thy Creator. He made you. Yeah, I mean, we live in a world today that seeks to do everything possible to remove any kind of accountability to a Creator. And so here comes Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, saying, hey, remember now, as a young person, thy Creator. He doesn't even say here, you know, that your Savior or your Redeemer or whatever it might be. He's saying, your Creator, the one who made you in his image, made in the image of God. Every single person is made in the image of God. Remember him. Live your life the knowledge of his presence. Okay. This means, now we get to letter A and B. What is the word Creator? This means God must be, number one, your focus. God must be your focus. Every decision that we make revolves around doing what God would have us to do, doing what's right. Who's your focus? Your friends? I mean, really, even your parents. I mean, there you were to obey and respect your parents, but, you know, God is to be your focus. I'm focused upon him. I want to please him. And the way we please him, of course, is to be respectful to those in authority, with our parents and, you know, whoever God's placed you under, whether it's in school or employment or whatever it might be, to be respectful. But God's the focus. He's the pinnacle. He's the Creator. He must be your focus. And number two, this means he must be your priority. Every decision we make revolves around putting him first. Every focus and priority. In another portion of scripture, God, through Solomon, again, exhorts us to get wisdom and understanding. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Just go back in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 4, because it's the same author of Ecclesiastes who writes Proverbs chapter 4. And notice these words. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Now, Solomon isn't just talking here to those who are like 1 to 5. You know, we think of children. I call my kids like little baby children. They're always going to be my little baby children, right? You're always going to be my little baby children. So see, this is the idea that Solomon's using that here. It's biblical to say that, because here Solomon's talking to his children, but you're not talking about little teeny kids. He's talking here about youth, young people. So children, listen. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend, pay attention to no understanding. Pay attention. Listen up. For I give you good doctrine. I give you good teaching. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, this is awesome. Think about, just imagine Solomon getting this from his father. Let thine ear retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, Forsake her not. Don't forsake wisdom and understanding. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, I got to just, before we go further with this, what does Solomon mean when he says get wisdom? See how many degrees you can put after your name? Is that what Solomon means when he's saying get wisdom, get understanding? This is the principal thing. Don't forget it. I mean, is having a bunch of degrees or being a lifelong college student, is that what Solomon's saying here? Is that what's going to keep you preserved and keep and allow you to live and be preserved and be kept? And is that what he's talking about here? Wisdom is the proper application of the knowledge of God. I mean, get to know God. But don't just know him and forget it. Live that out. That's wisdom, exercising the knowledge we receive from the word of God and applying it to our lives is wisdom. I mean, that's what it is. So another portion of scripture, God through Solomon exhorts us to get wisdom and understanding. What's Solomon saying here? Number one, use your minds God has given to you. There's nothing that bothers me more than professing Christians who claim to be Christian. Maybe they are, I'm sure, but just don't think. They don't use the minds God has given them. They're just, you know, sheeple going along doing whatever someone leader tells them to do without thinking and applying and looking at scripture. And what does the Bible say in the New Testament? Rightly dividing, study, be diligently studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the root of truth, cutting a straight line, properly interpreting and understanding God's word. This is the exhortation that we have. Use the mind, young person and older person. Use the mind God has given to you. The very statements here, get wisdom and get understanding, assume it can be obtained. And we must choose it carefully because the opposite of wisdom and understanding does exist. If Solomon's saying get it, get wisdom and get understanding, that means, well, it's possible, number one, for you to ignore it and not care. And in fact, in doing so, you're going to become a, what does Proverbs talk about? Fool. We just discussed that not too long ago. Was it Wednesday night, first Wednesday of the month, about the fool? No. The opposite of wisdom and understanding does exist. So you need to, number one, choose your faith. Choose your faith for the right reasons. We could spend a whole class on this, young people, choosing your faith for the right reasons. Think about why you believe what you believe. Because there is a world of ideas and information and people out there who want you to believe what they believe. You're going to be bombarded by information. Believe this. This is right. This is wrong. This is truth. This is error. It's just bombardment in your minds. Think about why you believe what you believe and beware of being a Christian, quote unquote, for the wrong reasons. Well, because it's what my parents believe. Or it's because it's what I just grew up that way. I've always thought it. Never really thought through it, what it even means or who I am or what I believe, but I'm just, you know, or because someone else told you or because you feel it. I mean, beware of being a Christian for the wrong reasons. Think about why you believe what you believe. Number two, be convicted of what you believe and be able to defend your faith. And this is where you get into apologetics and all these things. The evidence of life confirms the biblical record. There is no error in this book, and the record of life confirms that. Biblical Christianity, honestly, is the only truth that makes sense of the life around us. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't questions or things we don't understand or whys that we ask. Why would God do this? Why would God allow this? And if we had all the answers to all of God's whys, it would just prove we've made God in our own image. You know, we've got it on him all figured out because we constructed him. Well, no, we didn't construct him, so I don't have all the answers to all the whys. What I do have is what he has told us, what he has told me. Biblical Christianity makes sense of life. The word of God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and the use of your own intellect, your own mind, all play a part, not only in our salvation, but in our subsequent relationship with the Lord. Therefore, we have to continue to interact with each of those three entities, the word of God, the Holy Spirit, and the mind that God has given to us. All three of these things all three of these things. Don't forsake one of them. Don't forsake the word of God to know what God desires and explains and tells us. Don't forsake a walk with the Lord in fellowship so that the Holy Spirit can convict and teach and work in our lives. And don't neglect the mind. Well, I just don't feel this way. Feelings aren't the test of truth. Feelings are not the test of truth. We live in a culture and society today where feelings tend to be the test of truth. Well, it can't be true because I don't feel that it's true. I don't feel that way about it. It doesn't matter. I don't feel like I should have to pay $500 for my electrical bill every month, okay? I don't feel like it. I feel that's way overpriced, and I'm not paying $500. I'm just giving an illustration here. I don't feel like I should. Does that make it true that I shouldn't? No. The fact of the matter is I owe $500 to PG&E. That's the facts. I don't feel like it, but it doesn't make it true just because I don't feel like it. So anyway, we live in a society today where feelings are being taught that this is the test of truth, is how you feel about something. And God says, no, I've given you a mind. Get wisdom, get understanding. It's the principal thing. Use the mind I've given you. You can know truth. You can know error. And your responsibility as one of my children is to exercise discernment in all things. Even as a young person, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Enjoy being young, but make the right decisions. Do the right things. And letter B, apply what you have then learned to your life. Back in Proverbs 4:4, he taught me also, and he said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Retain, keep. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. We can know many facts, but we are not wise until we live out what we've learned to be true. Live it out. We're not wise until we live it out. You know, young people, I know, because, you know, I'm there too still. You know, young people often, don't laugh. Young people, we often want the best for our future. No, I know, I'm old. So we're talking to you young people. You know, in your teens and 20s, young people often want the best for their future. They want a good, I mean, you want a good life of joy and peace and fulfillment. It can be found, but only by doing it according to the rules of the one who created you. And when I say that, it doesn't mean like you're tied to some rules. And I mean, it's just saying, hey, God knows what's best for you better than you know what's best for yourself. So get to know him better. Get to know him better. I mean, wow, you want to talk about fulfillment and peace and joy in life? Like we talked about in men's Bible study yesterday morning, that doesn't mean there's not going to be storms in life. But inner, inside, peace, fulfillment, joy in life. Well, we don't have time. I was going to look at Timothy in the New Testament because he's really the New Testament prime example of a young person. How a young person can be used by God when they're young. And we're not, our time's up, so we're not going to do that. So maybe if you have on your handout there, you can kind of look at the life of Timothy and think of some things about Timothy's life. We know Timothy was a young man. Paul wrote to him in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 and said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to believers. And in that context, the youth could be anything from a teenager up to someone, you know, around probably their 30s or low 30s is usually what the culture would define a youth by that standard in the first century. So a young person, we know Timothy was young, but he was used by God because, you know, really he fulfilled exactly what Solomon said here. You know, Timothy, remember now the creator in the days of thy youth. Timothy, enjoy being young, but at the same time, make sure you make the right decisions. And guess what? Did Timothy just do it like easily and like, this is a breeze? No, Paul had to, as his father in the faith, Paul had to come along sometime and say, hey, Timothy, just, you know, don't worry about this. He helped Timothy because Timothy had struggles even as a young person. But Timothy was used mightily by God as a young person. And every single one of you young people here today too can be used by God to really be an example of the believers. But it starts with remembering now thy creator in the days of thy youth. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time you've given us this morning just to be able to consider some important words from Solomon here in Ecclesiastes directed specifically to young people. Lord, we pray for all of our young people here at Grace Bible Church. We love them and we want to see them grow in the knowledge of you and apply wisdom to their lives. And we pray for them. We just pray, Lord, that that as parents and as those here in this family, this church family, we can be the kind of examples you'd have us to be. And we pray that they will make decisions, the young people and all of us will make decisions that are honoring and glorifying to you as we get to know you better. Thank you for the time we're able to spend here this morning. And Lord, we pray that in all things you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.